Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk with your host, Dr. Tanisha Guy, and her co-hosts, Steve J. and marriage and family therapist expert, Fatima. This show is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is encourage dialogue across ages, gender, religious backgrounds, ethnicity, and sexual orientation. Feel free to join in the discussion. We want to hear what you think. And don't forget to tell friends about Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk.
And welcome back this Sunday to Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. So I am looking forward to this show today because I think we're going to enjoy our guest and the topic. So if you're tuning in now, our topic is Battle of the Sexes Quarantine 2020. I know most of us have been quarantined to shelter in place in our different states. And so today I just thought we would have a little bit of fun by talking to some individuals about some gender-specific topics. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce my co-host, as always, and then I'm going to introduce my guests that have decided to join us in a little bit of fun today. Hey, Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am here and ready to go. You know, always get up for these shows, so I'm excited.
I know we haven't done a Battle of the Sexes in a long time, so I am really looking to see what topics come up. Hey, Fatima.
Hi, Dr. Guy. I'm here. I'm still COVID-free, and I'm just ready for the outrageous statements that are about to be made by the men who are here today.
Oh, okay. Did you say outrageous statements that are going to be made by the men? Okay. I'm ready for it. Okay. So we have several guests joining us today, and so I'm going to go ahead and introduce. I'm going to start off with our King Charles, host of Topic of the Year award-winning show. Are you there, King Charles?
I'm here. What's up, Steve and Fatima? What's going on with y'all?
Hi, King Charles.
I'm ready to battle. I can see my adversary is already. Yes, my adversary has already colored our statements as being outrageous. She's learned a lot since she's taken on that political campaign. She's already painting us in a negative light.
Hey, man, I'm suited and booted, man.
So, King Charles, I have brought along your co-host on Friday night, Twyla B. Good. Hey, Twyla.
Hey, how are you?
I am ready.
You ready for today's show?
I'm excited. This should be interesting.
Okay.
Hey, Charles.
Uh-oh, there go Twyla. Lord have mercy.
This will be fun.
It will be fun. And we also have Marissa joining us. Hi, Marissa. Can you hear us?
I can hear you loud and clear. How's everyone doing?
I'm doing great.
Hello.
Wonderful, wonderful. Let's get this started.
And last but not least, Mr. Darren, are you ready?
I'm ready. I stay ready, so I don't have to get ready. Let's go.
Okay. So I'm going to start off with a real easy question, because then I'm going to toss it over to Steve, and I don't know what Steve's going to do. So I'm going to start off light, right? And so my first question to you guys is, should there be gender roles in relationships?
Hell yeah, if you don't want no confusion. You can't pick a cake without instruction. You know, we both trying to bake a cake, and you got four eggs, and I got four eggs, and don't nobody got no flour and butter, we not going to have a cake. We just going to have an omelet.
Now, what, Steve, I'm asking our guests.
Are you specifying gender-specific roles or just gender roles in general?
Gender-specific roles.
I feel everyone plays a role in a relationship.
Okay. No,
so meaning that women are supposed to just be in the kitchen?
Because I'm a woman, I am required to cook because I'm a woman. So...
Mm-hmm.
Should there be gender-specific roles in a relationship?
I think gender roles are outdated. You know, I think it's really hold on a second. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Now going back to that, I think gender roles are outdated. If you have changed with the times or whatever the case may be, and I really haven't never kind of got caught up in the gender roles, but I think it's outdated and old. Just like everything has elevated and advanced, you got to elevate and advance in the relationships, because, you know, you're dealing with a different type of woman today in 2020. You're definitely dealing with a different type of man. But there is still some lines that me as a man that I just won't cross.
Okay. All right. So King Charles is outdated.
Yeah,
gender-specific roles. I think it doesn't necessarily need to be in a relationship to make it work. I think for the most part, in any type of relationship, you do what you're best at. So if, you know, if he's better at cooking, well, by all means, you can have it. I don't think it necessarily needs to be, well, I'm a woman, so therefore my role, because I'm a woman, is to be in the kitchen cooking and washing clothes all day or taking care of the kids. I think that's where sometimes people have that misconception about that.
Can I chime in, Dr. Guy?
Yes. Darren, what do you say?
Yeah, no, I agree. I believe that was Steve. I do think gender roles has gotten outdated in the new millennial. I think now it's more of, I guess, come together with an agreement. I know me, you know, and I guess it's like, and we talked about this once before, Dr. Guy, where you're from down south. I would just say this, I don't know where people are from on this host, but if you're down south, yeah, women did cook. That was expected. I know when I dated, before I got married, you had to cook. That's just, and I would work. I had no problem with working. And so it was hard for a while to date, because women like, cook? Why you don't cook? And so it's like, I don't know. My mom cooked, and my grandmama cooked, and my aunts cooked. So that's what I'm used to, women cooking and men working. But when you use that conversation, and now, like you said earlier, it is outdated. You're not going to find an average woman in the kitchen cooking. Not saying they can't, but you just can't just tie them down to that role now.
Okay.
I'm going to chime in as the resident Southern girl from South Carolina, and I'm sure we got some other Southern girls on the call, that it's more, when you say gender, I'm still stuck on the question, but I'm going to move past the question and get to the answer of, I don't necessarily believe in gender-specific roles. I do believe, generally what everyone else is saying, that it's certain things that I may be better at, there's certain things that he may be better at, but to call it a role rather than an expectation that we set forth in the beginning of the relationship, if I'm better at cooking, then by all means, that's my role. But coming from the South, I am a little more, you know, mentally trained to take on what we may call more female gender-specific type roles. Now, I'm just going to be honest. I tend to do the cooking in my relationship. I tend to do the attending, but if he's better at it, by all means. I have not met that man yet that's better at cooking, so I'm still cooking in the kitchen over here.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right.
Touché.
So at this point, okay, it seems like it's unanimous that our women and our men, with the exception of Steve, agree that no, there are no gender-specific roles, and that in relationships, people should just do whatever they're best at doing in the relationship.
Can I chime in?
Sure.
Uh-huh. Let me chime in right quick. First of all, to the comment that who made it about, you know, she hasn't met a man that can cook better than her. That's one of my primary things in my relationship, is a cook, because I cook professionally, you know, and I cook damn well. And I'm from the West Coast. I'm not from the South. But I also want to say that there is certain gender roles that will never change in my eyes and from my perspective. And one of them is, you know, the male will always be the protector, and the woman will always be the nurturer. You know, if I see that flipped in a relationship, I'm going to be looking side-eye at that relationship.
Interesting.
And I think that's just because how we are built, as far as our makeup. We're, you know, women are the nurturers. We're the emotional creatures. That's who we are. That's instilled in us. Men have always been the one we go to for, like, the security in the relationship and the protector. That's just something, in my opinion, that has always been instilled because he's a man and I'm a woman.
Okay.
Is that not the expectation, though? Is that not the expectation for you to protect? And again, is that not still a role? Will I ever be in the protecting role?
Well, and also, doesn't nurturing, doesn't that kind of fall under food?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking the same thing, and I wasn't trying to play a man that can't. I'm just saying, I hadn't met the guy. So, sir, if you making offers on the West Coast, more than happy. I got points for days. I'll fly over for that meal. But where I'm from, no. Just because, guys, I've come across, I do the cook, and I enjoy cooking. So let's put that out there. It's not a chore.
And let's talk about this quickly, King Charles. You may be the best cook, but you may not have the most time to cook. So
exactly,
just because you're the best cook by default doesn't mean that that's something that you need to be doing as you're trying to build and amass your empire, is stopping and doing these meals. Like, when we talk about roles, in my estimation, I understand what you're saying, all of you, but what I'm saying is there's a certain element in a relationship, which is, what are we going to eat? That don't mean you got to cook, but somebody needs to be in charge of that. Whether it's me or you, it rotates more often than not, since we're talking about, you know, who's the picky eater. More often than not, in my relationships, has been my counterpart and not me. So that's something that I let them take in charge because they're more picky than I am.
Steve, you make a good point. I like that. I like that, Steve. You made a good point as far as that time, because that's where the gray area come in. I'm not saying that my baby cannot cook, and I love her cooking. You know, it's just that my day starts earlier and ends earlier. So therefore, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to make sure that, you know what I'm saying, that she got something nurturing, there's the word, to eat when she gets off. But primary roles that she owns, and it was never asked of her, she makes sure that I don't miss a meal. You know what I'm saying? That's like that she's taking on that responsibility herself.
She's taking on that role.
Out or going out or whatever, you know, she takes that responsibility.
So, but what I'm saying is when you say responsibility, I'm using the word role, like we're using in the question. So she's taking on the role of nutrition, you know, making sure everybody's nurtured and eating. So that's a role she's taking. I'm not saying that she's got to cook, but she's taking that role of nurturing as it comes through food. So that's what I'm saying in terms of in my relationship, you know, we talked about protector. I'm talking about security, you know. You talk about nurturing, you're talking about food. I mean, I think that as we are a little bit more developed, we kind of lose track on these things are the same. They just look a little different.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that they're doing it because of their gender. They're doing it because it fits them best, though.
Well, every relationship works differently. I can't speak to everything in a totality, but I'm saying in his situation and in my situation and in Marissa's situation, these are things that we're identifying is things we're looking for in a partner. It's not going to work for everybody the same, but that's one of the things we have at this point of, is choice that we can, you know, we can make these adaptations as is necessary.
But one thing Twala brought up, you know, the nurturer and the protector in the makeup of the man and the woman. And if we really look at that, you know, and I can't speak for nobody else's relationship, but I can speak for mine. We each can take over the opposite, but will that feel comfortable for us? You know, because I have my woman, you know, saying she good with her hands and she carries a firearm and everything like that, but I'm still the protector, and I'm quite sure that I could nurture. You know what I'm saying? I know about, like Steve brought it up, as far as meals, you can nutrition and different things like that. But I'm talking about, you know, deep down nurturing. I'm quite sure that I could do that, but will that be a comfortable place for me as an alpha male?
And I get back to what I always tell Dr. Guy that she hates, is that women can wear pants, but a vagina works better in a skirt.
Don't say that again. I don't think they heard that.
Women can wear pants, but a vagina works better in a skirt. So, also, like even like with my grandmother, when I was growing up, I was around her a lot. There were things that she could lift, but as a man, I'm designed to lift heavy things. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that she couldn't lift it. It's just how I'm built. I'm built for this, you know. And I think we've touched on this a little earlier. You built to carry the gun, but we just don't want you shooting nobody. That's why she got it.
See, I'm going to let you transition into our next question on that last note.
Well, this is always my favorite one. Can men and women be platonic friends? Can men and women be platonic friends?
Yes.
Yes.
Marissa.
I think you can have a relationship with a man and it's platonic and there's no, you know, intimacy, sexual desire there.
I think that's
achievable.
My response to that is, as long as you can't be friends with someone that you find physically and sexually attractive. I have homegirls, but I have no attraction towards them, and that's what makes the friendship great. But if I had an attraction towards them, I think it'll cross the line because it's just the natural attraction. You want to, you know, it's just hard to separate attraction from friendship. But if there's no, just my experience, just what I've seen, like, for platonic, absolutely. But on my end, it's just no attraction. I don't think, you know, neither end or definitely not my end. And I could be the best homeboy you ever had.
Well, I'm working a little differently. I have lots of attractive female friends that I'm platonic with. I feel like those are the best people to be friends with because they.
Marissa's one of them. Yeah, Marissa's one of them. Yeah, Thank you for finding me absolutely attractive, Steve. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, Marissa and Dr. Guy are my platonic friends. So
I don't want you. And have been for a long time since high school.
Right.
And I never want them.
Right. So thank you very much.
Steve, you ever wanted me? You ever wanted me?
No, but
next question.
You know,
hold on.
I just think that, you know, it works better from a standpoint of when you can get advice. Like if you have the people that you're not attracted to, then, you know, they may be a reason why you're not attracted to them, and that might not help you in your endeavors when you're in relationship. So I've come to appreciate my attractive friends who are on the phone's advice.
See, that's always problematic because
I would like
my pushback on that with Steve is what happens when women start thinking like, you know what, we can probably make something work because we've been friends for so long, and you hear that happen so many times that we started dating. We started out as friends, but then as we got to know each other, the relationship grew and we got involved.
Well, that's a different type of friendship. That's not a platonic friendship.
Right.
Not at all.
Hey, let me chime in on that. I think that comes with I'm gonna piggyback on Steve right there because I think it comes with the maturity of the man first and foremost. You know, because when I was a younger man, you know, I didn't think with my brain. So you know, a woman friend, she can get it too. But as a man matures. You know, as a man matures, like, you know, like I have a little bit of popularity, you know, and most of the women that's around me that I do business with are my co-hosts on my shows or whatever the case may be. They're beautiful women and they're platonic friends, you know, and I never crossed that line. So therefore, you know, my answer to that is yes, but it comes with a certain measure of maturity. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. And also respect, too.
You guys, one of
it's kind of like you can't be a hungry wolf and hang out with the lambs.
No, man.
You got to
somebody
be well fed. Right.
You guys, one of our listeners said no, men and women cannot be platonic friends.
Who said that?
But why couldn't they?
One of our listeners. He said men and women cannot be platonic friend.
That's a guy?
Yes, it's a guy.
Well, that's just a hungry wolf.
He's a hungry wolf.
Yeah, he just, I mean, yeah. Because, I would want to know why would he think that? Why would he think that?
He's not fed well. You know, like he sees something, he wants it. You know.
Lack of maturity. This is another question from the same gentleman who said men and women cannot be platonic friends. He's asking you all a question. What is your definition of the alpha male? Because this seems to be contradicting.
I guess you asked me.
Look, that's what I'm trying to figure out. What is contradicting?
One definition of an alpha male is that he don't think with his penis, man. You know what I'm saying? One definition of an alpha male is a man that, you know what I'm saying, that has reasoning and logic and also respect without fear, without measure. You don't have to be I think stereotypically people think an alpha male is somebody out just banging everybody. Now, that's not an alpha male. That's really a hoe.
Well, you know, something else I like to talk about is there's a difference between a big dog and a wolf. And I think a lot of times y'all have mistaken big dogs for wolves. You know, a wolf and a dog, the difference is the dog is always going to look to the owner for food. A wolf goes out and he makes his own way. And that's what alpha man is. He goes out, he makes his own way. He's the leader. He's in control. He's to be respected. and he gives respect. So in that regard, you know, when we talk about these interactions with women, you have to give that respect. You know, it's not that we're here to bed all the women. You know, I always tell people the tiger is more powerful than the lion, but the lion got them five lionesses on his side, so that's why he gonna win. So you just have to look at it from that standpoint of, you know, when you look at a leader, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean they all look the same. You know, there's a Jeff Bezos, there's a Jay-Z, there's a Bill Gates. You can't tell me Bill Gates is an alpha, although he looks, you know, an alpha-like, or Steve Jobs. Like, it looks different than before we were in, you know, caveman times, and, you know, we took off our shirt and beat our chest and we had a club. So, you know, there is that difference. Now, if you want to talk about, you know, you're basing your masculinity on your body count, then that's something totally different.
I would like to ask you, one of the women to chime in to tell me what their definition of an alpha male is.
I can chime in. This is Marissa. Definitely what Steve, I love how Steve gives, like, great metaphors of what it is, but definitely someone who has a level of maturity to think outside of their penis, as that was stated earlier. And looking at the bigger picture, a man with a vision, a man with a plan, and knows how to execute said plan and has the tools to do such. So, you know, I'm attracted to a lot of things, and power, and someone that's not afraid to back down in any situation. So, you know, I don't know naturally if I look at someone and say, oh, yeah, that's a alpha male, versus I look for certain attributes that to me scream alpha male. So, again, power, yeah, power in the walk, talk, power in how they present, someone who commands presence, and someone who knows when to be silent as well, and to listen. So, you know, I think a lot of times we put alpha male on a look or a certain, you know, swag, but it's a little more than that to me. So, yeah, and you can see that leader of the pack, they evolve quite quickly when you're in the room. You see them stand out quite quickly. So, yeah, that's my definition.
I agree with everything that you said. It's just the level of confidence, the leadership that he embodies, and he can walk in a room, and he doesn't say anything, but he just commands this respect and attention.
Yeah.
And gets you all tingly in the panties. I know, that's what makes
Yes, I'm there. Yes.
It's confidence.
Come on, start working. Like, wait a minute, who is that? And they're not necessarily the tallest person in the room. They're not necessarily the biggest person in the room. But
or even the most attractive person.
You know
person.
When they're in the room.
Yeah.
And one
but
of
because
the other
of all of that, that makes
them
attractive.
Todd, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I couldn't hear you.
I was saying he doesn't always necessarily need to be the most attractive-looking person in the room,
exactly.
But because he has all of that, that makes him attractive.
And another female listener said that an alpha male is someone who is a leader and a protector. So it also sounds like she's in agreement to what you both just said. Okay. So I'm trying to get you. Oh, all righty. So you guys, this next question, we've talked about this one on the show several times before. So who's the better cheater, men or women?
Women.
That's like across the board answer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I want to just hear responses. Now that we know that women. Now that we know that women is the winner unanimously, I just want to know why women think they're the better cheaters.
Because men do not recognize that women already pay attention to everything, the smallest detail, everything. So I immediately recognize pattern changes. I always, anybody I date, I tell them your pattern change. And I point it out. I always recognize pattern changes. Men tend to avoid instead of, let me do like this, proactive versus reactive. Women cheat proactively. We already know when we're going to cheat. So we've already proactively have a plan in place. I done made you dinner, got everything situated, going to call you on the way. Right beside the nigga, I call you. Yeah, I'm be that sure. Y'all don't do that. Y'all avoid. So when I'm calling you and you're in the moment, instead of answering, because y'all don't get everybody in place. We all going to cheat together. So whoever you cheating with, you ain't get them in on the cheating. So you can't even take a call with the person you cheat, because y'all be trying, instead of focusing on, look, I'm about to get some ass. I don't know if this show is censored. Whatever your purpose, when women cheat, we go in with the purpose, and we're clear. We're clear with the reason why we're cheating, whether it's for love, whether it's for sex, whether whatever it's for. We know that. Men don't do that. Men see a woman, and so now the female you're cheating with at times is confused. So you, she can't be in on the cheating with you. You got to, it's a group approach that people don't, they don't take it. They don't do it right. They don't do it right. So that's why people get hurt.
I'm going to
say,
that was very passionate. I think strategically,
hey, let me chime in
we fall at that.
I would like to say that my answer to that was that women do cheat or is the better cheater. But I also want to say is that we process it differently. If you think that men don't know that a woman or his woman is cheating, don't be fooled. We just don't process it the way you do. You know, we know it. We know it when it's
plain. Explain. I want to know.
Hey, that's just something that we can't unravel that right now. We're just not going to unravel that and let you know about that. But we know. We know when there's cheating going on. How we process it is a little bit different than you guys do. And for the fact is, you know what I'm saying, I think she was trying to say that we cheat for the same reason and for like the 80-20 rule, you know what I'm saying? But it's not necessarily so. We're going back to the man and who that man is and the maturity of that man. See, maturity comes with a lot of, I don't know how to say this, but it's just that when you find a woman and you're dating in the interview process of the dating, you want to get you a woman to fit you, to take care of your needs and wants and do's and don'ts. And see, once a woman can take care of a man's needs, wants and do's and don'ts, and he can do the same for her, then that cheating, and as long as you nurture that relationship, that cheating is not even a factor.
Exactly.
See, if I worry,
agree with you.
All the energy that I can put in worrying about, because see, my woman fine. And you know what I'm saying? And she has a lot of men getting at her at all times. But if I take all the energy that people take in worrying about whether she going to cheat or investigating Inspector Gadget, I need to take that energy into loving her and making sure that can't nobody touch that. I'm going to stop right there.
Yeah, I need you to keep going because that made me feel nice.
Well, nice.
Well, before King Charles keeps going.
I'm going to make you feel.
Before King Charles keeps going, I'm going to go to the phone line because we do have some callers, you guys. But if you're just tuning in, today our show topic is Battle of the Sexes. And as you can probably hear from now, we're going back and forth on a few topics. So I am going to go to the phone lines. If you do have a question or a comment and you want to join this discussion and you're listening online, the phone number is 914-205-5902. And caller, you're on the air at 708. Hello? 708, you're on the air. You will have to come back. All right, maybe she will try to get her back on. You guys, while you all were going back and forth, there were several comments that were being posted. So I'm going to read some of them. One was an alpha male would not get cheated on.
So I don't know what to do with that.
An alpha male doesn't get cheated on, and then also a man who tends to dominate in society is an alpha male. So that was another definition that you guys had for alpha male. That was from a female. And then this is from a female as well. She says, I feel like women cheat better because men with their egos underestimate us. So the those are just some of the comments in reference to who's a better cheater. So it sounds like women are better cheaters.
I think also playing into that ego is that's why women have to go into hiding when they find out they got cheated on, because you done killed this man's ego. And he, now we all some domestic violence stuff automatically off top. You were doing what with him?
Mm-hmm.
Like you doing with me?
I agree.
Yep.
Love me enough where I don't have to cheat and we'll all be fine.
Love me enough.
I was trying to refrain from getting into the alpha male conversation because I personally don't believe in that language. I'm not into alpha male, beta male. Like, I think that's silly. But this comment, an alpha male is not going to be cheated on, is so ridiculous that I feel like I have to speak on it. I think part of my problem with that language is that it somehow suggests that if there's a man who isn't behaving in some type of stereotypical way, and I think this is the way a lot of people think of it, that he's somehow less of a man. And I think what you end up seeing is a lot of men displaying a lot of toxic behaviors in order to be a quote-unquote alpha male, when it's really just, like, problematic. Like, I think that men just have to be the man that you are. And whether or not it's alpha, beta, gamma, or omega, like, just be the man that you are. I don't think it serves anybody to categorize men in these narrow categories of if you're alpha or if you're beta, because what's alpha for me might not be alpha for you.
And you're 100% correct.
I would like to challenge Fatima on that. You know what I'm saying? Good response. And a good position on that. But when we're talking about, at least when I talk about the characteristics of a man and titling it as alpha or omega, you know what I'm saying? Different men have different characteristics. And a lot of men are not, they use that example, alpha man can walk in the room and he don't have to say a word, and people just know by his presence, his walk, the way he carries himself, that he's an alpha male, or could be. But then on the flip side, it's people that a man that might walk in a room and nobody notice him at all because of the way he carries himself, you know what I'm saying, and the characteristics that he has. And it's not necessarily stereotypical. It's just a title.
A lot of women who are in really bad situations right now with men because he walked in the room so well and he carried himself so well, and ooh, girl, everybody noticed him. And you know what? Did they notice why he was beating her behind? Did they notice why he was ruining her credit? Like, I just think that, like, I can't do it. Like, I can't buy into it.
For every woman that has walked in a room and noticed a man, there's been a man that's seen a big ass and has ruined his life too.
Absolutely.
So what we're talking about, and maybe this is something that may be beyond you, is maybe this is just something that men need. I need to know who's an alpha. I need to know who I can trust around my woman because he's confident. I need to know who's a sneaky beta. I need to know who's a gamma, who's going to be by himself. So maybe these terms aren't for you. Maybe they're just for men.
Surely you, Steve, are not suggesting that alpha men are incapable of cheating.
That is not anything which I said. I was talking about
you
alpha,
saying
beta,
I need to know. I need to know who I can trust around my woman. I need to know who's a sneaky beta. So the subtext to that is a sneaky beta man is gonna mess with your woman. So alpha men don't mess with other men's women. Surely you're not suggesting that.
More often than not, they do not in my circle. I can tell you what happens in my circle.
All right, I'll come back with the receipts later. Carry on. Next question.
So this is our next question, you guys. How much should someone, and listen, this is key, someone spend on their first date? So
$7.
How much is appropriate to spend on a first date?
$7.
Say, man, Steve, stop.
$7.
Man, that's two good grande lattes at Starbucks. What you talking about?
On the first date?
I need
on
to get to know
date?
You. Why we dipping in the stash and I don't know you?
I agree.
We'll get to the stash. We'll get to the stash if you're worth it.
More than $7, though, Steve. Where are you getting your lattes?
Oh, I mean,
they're more than $7.
Oh, that's
I mean,
for her. I'm getting the tea.
Oh,
I would
okay.
say, like, at least 25, because you can
like,
go to Starbucks.
That's like $3.35.
Dr. Guy.
Oh, you want the protein pack. Okay.
$25 here, Twyla. Steve
said I said
$7. 25. Okay.
It can be free.
It could, yeah. Dr.
Guy.
0 to 25.
Yeah. First
it depends
all,
on the experience.
Why should there even be a dollar amount on the first date in the first place? Why should that even be an issue? You know, sometimes you got to get out of yourself and be a part of the bigger thing. It's two people that have the potential to be something together, meeting one another, to learn about one another. And isn't that bigger than just the dollar amount of what it might cost? Or what it might cost zero. It might cost $7, as Steve said. It might cost $50. So why is that so important? The most important thing is there might be a good connection right here. There might be a marriage coming out of this. There might be a family born out of this. So sometimes I think people need to get out of themselves and get selfless on this type of thing and stop putting the dollar amount on two people meeting.
Okay.
Dr. Guy.
No dollar amount.
Thank you.
Dr. Guy.
Okay.
Uh-huh. There.
Dr. Guy. Yes. So the first date, like, what are you talking about? Is this a blind first date? Is this we've been talking on the phone for like 3 weeks? First date?
I guess
the first outing.
I mean, the first date.
Right.
I mean,
thank you for the first outing with this person.
Yeah, and yeah, it could be 0 to I say 25 because you can go to the park and not spend anything.
Yeah.
I mean,
the first date.
You can be real creative with it.
Yeah, and at this age, when you was younger, yeah, you wanted to be a little flashy to show to be impressive as a young man. But now at this age, like, you know what, I'm not breaking the bank. It's just me getting to know you, you getting to know me to see if we attract to each other, we want to move further. And then maybe the next day might be a little bit, you know, a little bit more. But the first one, like you say, you can go to Starbucks, you can go to the park, you can just, you're just trying to fill each other out to see if this woman's a dater. We talked about that earlier. Is this woman just out, just, she got a boyfriend, but she's been, like you say, she cheating. Like, oh, I met a guy online. I met a guy at the club. So let's go out on this free date. You know, let me go on this free date and eat with this guy. I have no intentions of getting with him, but he's attracted to me. He said he's taking me out, so why not? So, I mean, as a guy, me per se, I'm going to make the first date kind of light because I don't know how you moving.
Okay, light. All right, Marissa, what
just
about
speaking.
You?
Yeah, cause I'm gonna go regional on this one. Being Steve's gonna give it. Being Southern, I mean, to me that first date is on him. Especially if he asked me. Now, if I asked you out on the first date, then yeah, I'll take the reins. But here, that's on you. I'm not gonna complain. Hey, if the first date is yo, let's. Again, to me, that's that alpha take control. You know, I got it. I'm going to pick you up or beware at such and such time. And all I need to know is what I need to wear, what, you know, casual busy dress. That's all I really want to know. So whatever you put into that first date, that's on him. And then that tells me, you know, a lot of people
think they have to try to impress me for whatever reason, but I'm really good at the juke joint that sell good fried chicken. I'm fine with that, but you got to kind of get to know me to get there. So it just it depends. Again, I put that on the mail, whoever's taking me out. But now if we have this, and see, that this dating is different these days, and you got to mutually agree to go. I don't like all of that. Just say, hey, I'm going to pick you up at 7 o'clock. I want to get to know you better. And wherever I'm meeting you, I don't know how much it costs because you're paying. That's
I like what she just commented on. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people get caught out in trying to impress somebody. You know what I'm saying? Impress them with their pocketbook or impress them with their purse or impress them with their wallet or whatever the case may be. What people need to focus on is start impressing them with your mental capacity, uh-huh. your conversation. You know what I'm saying? You know, mentally stimulate the person. You know what I'm saying? It don't have to be a dollar amount on that. It could just like Donna said, you can go to the park and sit on the bench by the pond or whatever the case may be and just chop it up. And that conversation could just be fire. And, you know, and you don't have the money is out the window now.
I mean, that's what we need to be doing now in the midst of the quarantine. There needs to be a lot of sitting on the bench on the midst of this quarantine. I ain't really trying to go to Walmart with you, nah. They got people in there still, so, you know, outside on the bench is cool. You know, you bring what you're going to drink, I bring what I'm going to drink, we'll just talk.
Oh, that's your quarantine dating tip, Steve?
Oh yeah, I'm sure online dating is on fire right now. I'm not participating, but you know, it's got to be going crazy.
I'm not gonna lie. I had a date at Walmart before. It was some time ago, and he got off of work late, and I needed to go shopping. He was like, "Yo, I'll meet you at Walmart." And again, we walked through the Walmart together, and we had great conversation. And took my grocery to the car and all of that. We didn't proceed past that, you know, proceed much past that because of him making the request. But still, it wasn't a bad date. It really wasn't. It really wasn't. So it can happen.
I'm going to jump off topic, Dr. Guys. You know, it's about time for one of them crazy Steve questions. We've been nice enough.
Go right ahead.
All right, so who is the freakiest? Is it men or women?
Hey, man.
Women.
Look at everybody. Yeah.
Women.
Everybody starts chuckling,
women.
Huh?
40-year-old women.
I took that out of Twala.
Yes, 40-year-old women. I agree. Older the better.
40-plus women.
I like the specification. Yeah,
yes.
I love
yes.
the specification. Women over 40, but
over 40,
men between 30, men between 35 and 40. I don't want to specify who, because there's some freaky men out there as well. I mean, sometimes it takes the freakiest of women to kind of pull it out of them, but I don't know if we are far more freaky or have you just not met your match yet.
All right, so let me chime in on that. This is a good one for me. I think a lot of times men can bring out the freak. We can go both ways, but I'm going to speak on the men. I think it takes the men. Every woman is freaky. It just takes the right men to bring that freak out that woman for that woman to go there with that man. You know, it's just like when you was in the hood. It's like when you was growing up in the hood and your homeboy like, oh, I hit that. Like, did she do that for you? Uh-uh. Your homeboy like, man, she did this, she did that, she did this. Because that dude brought more out of her than the other guy. So I think the men, you know, just my experience, me being male, I think men can bring that side of a woman to let her know that those inhibitions she had that she never had. It takes the right man to bring that out of a woman. So I think men, I think women are freaky, but I think men can bring out that freak in that woman.
I have to agree with what he just said, because when I was like 16 years old, I was dating a 30-year-old woman. I was still in high school, but she introduced me to some way freaky ass shit, and I was loving it, right? But as I gotten older, you know, and I'm like, my baby's my age, you know what I'm saying? So therefore, you know, I feel that I'm the freakiest now. You know, I think I would go with men are the freakiest.
Well, I want to jump in real quick, and we'll let Ms. Twyla close it out. So I agree with Mr. Darren. Initially, you can bring some stuff out of a woman, and, you know, that can be how that starts out. But these 40-year-old women, you ain't got to bring nothing out of them. It's already out. You know, it's in the nightstand. It might be in the closet. You might need to watch your head. They dildos falling all over the place. Goddamn, you just don't know what the hell is going on. So you might have to bring it out of some women, but other women you're gonna be tripping over stuff that you don't even know what it is. Man, I can tell you some stories to make your head curl. So
hey,
it depends on when the woman gets more comfortable, start to get a little bit more mature, you don't have to bring it out of them. It's already out. You need to stuff it back in sometimes.
I'd like to hear my co-host. I'd like to hear Twyla's comment on it. She's an erotic poet, so I would like to hear her comment on that.
Well, for me personally, I would say that it was always embedded in me. And going back to Charles, I believe, was saying that, or I can't remember who it was, depending on that man that actually brought it out. But it happened to be when I turned 40. Just happened to get with the right guy that brought it out. But trying to find the person that is around my age group that is can keep up with me, that can be challenging, I think.
Challenging.
Yeah.
Challenging, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
To say the least.
And because I do feel that when you are very open and honest about what it is that you like sexually as a woman, when you tell that to a potential partner, he may feel some type of way about the things that you like, especially if he has not been exposed to such. You may feel like, well, damn, I don't know if I can keep up, or I don't know if that's for me. You went into that sometimes as well.
Hmm. Or you just run out the house like I did.
Well, that could be your option too.
Don't come back.
The pandemic is over.
What did they say, Darren?
No, I'm saying when this pandemic is over, these women coming out the woodworks. I know they are. Because, you know, everybody's stuck in the house. And when it's over with, I was telling one of my homeboys, these women about to hit the club. They about to be on fire.
Well, they won't be by themselves, though, clearly.
No,
men are in the same condition that women are in right now.
No, I'm talking like you said, women in the 40s to 45s to 50s. Those are women that's with it. I didn't know. I mean, I'm 45, and I dated a woman 50, and I was like, man, I was doing it out of curiosity. And I was like, whoa, man, I didn't know it got better when it got older. Because, you know, just my mindset, just always dating women that were younger than me. But you said the 40-year-olds and 45-year-olds in the 50s, you're right on point. The best time in women's lives, because women are at their peak. Men, we're chilling out for the most part. And women are at their peak, and we're enjoying it. But, yeah, women, 45, 50, yeah, they own it. Own it for real.
But I think that has to do with a lot of factors, though. Like, the older women get, women embrace who they are. So the more confident that women feel in themselves, they learn more about themselves, so they're open to doing and exploring things about themselves. So I definitely would agree that as you get older, this whole idea behind exploration, you feel more confident because you feel more confident in yourself. So things that you wouldn't have done in your 20s, you like throwing caution to the wind in your 40s and 50s because you're like, I don't care what you think. It's all about me.
Yeah, there you go.
So I will say this.
My uncle did share it with me. You know what I'm saying? He was just an old school player, and he shared it with me, and he was explaining to me. But, like, women are getting to the end of their sexual peak, and they don't know when it's going to end. So that's when they just go all out crazy in their older ages versus men. And when we get older, like women – he's just saying, you know, they just never know when a sexual peak go in, so they just go ride till the wheels fall off. And so that's when they just give it their all, and that's why at the 40 and 45 and the 50 age range, you see more women, like you said, more comfortable, they want it more. You don't know when it's going to turn off, so you better go ahead and enjoy it now, because once it's gone, you know, that spark is gone. So that was his rationale. I don't know how true y'all women. Y'all tell us.
Well, also, you have some other factors that go into that. Like, you know, we're entering the age where if they have children, they're out of the house. You know,
you know, they're not in their most fertile time, so they're not really worried about having kids. And they've probably seen a lot of penises by then, so they know what they can do and what they're comfortable with. So, you know, that
you just don't throw that on there. Like, you just don't make it seem like they don't see
I'd say more than five, right? So when you're 20 and, you know, you're seeing a penis is a big thing, but when you're 40 and you see a penis, it's just not the same thing, you know. So
that's so weird because it sucks. The funny thing about it, it sucks, you know, unless you, like you say, if you're an older guy, because it's like when guys, when we were in our 20s and 30s, we're at where women at now. But then when we get in our 40s and 50s, not saying we still don't like it, but we're just not where we were when in our 20s and 30s, you know. Our perspectives in life start changing. We start being more about finances and money and things like that, you know. Especially, you know, if you've just been dating a while. It's just how the male brain thinks for the most part. And when I say that, I'm not saying guys don't want it. I'm not saying that. It's not our priority like it was in our 20s and 30s. You talk to a guy in his 20s and 30s, the first thing he say is, I want a woman today and a freak at night. Now you talk to a guy, man, I want a woman, got her stuff together. Conversation's different.
Exactly.
I like that, brother. You mean grown men, Darren.
Darren, you mean grown men make those statements. So there are still some men in their 40s and 50s that are still chasing the same thing that they were chasing in their 20s and 30s.
They saw that same mentality. They were going to
be spending all $1,200 stimulus check at the club, ain't it?
Exactly. Smelling like baby powder.
Not even smelling
like baby powder.
Now, I don't know what the old men smell like. I got to be honest with you.
Baby powder.
Hey,
and they big.
Baby powder.
Yes,
I don't even want to know
the
why
worst
baby
ever.
Okay, well,
hey,
no squall was turned off
baby
by baby
powder. On everything.
Yes, it's the worst.
Oh, my God.
I've run into some baby powdered breasts in the summer, so let's not act like that's something that just all old men do.
I don't even have baby powder in my house.
You're not old man.
Well, men over 50 are still using baby powder. Why is it white down here, sir?
Wow, what is this?
Wow.
Serious. They still, yes.
Wow.
Surprised.
I'm like one of the guys, baby powder don't even exist at the house. Wow.
Then,
I got some foot powder, but I don't have no baby powder.
Then one of your comments led to another question that we had on our list, and the question was, who's better with money, men or women?
Men.
People
men.
Who good with money?
Men. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
People who good with money are
women
with
really depends.
Huh?
That's new. That's
I just
neutral.
Think it depends
that's,
on
yeah,
on that
neutral.
Person because you
that's
can
neutral.
You can be a woman have bad budgeting or financial habits, spending habits, and just as well as a guy. It just depends on that person.
Yeah.
That's my
right,
opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a man
yeah.
or a woman that's better at it.
Right. Right.
I think, let me use my relationship, you know what I'm saying, that I'm in. You know, we're both good with money because we're both entrepreneurs and on our own individual businesses. But, you know, overall, you know, I am more better than, you know, my baby wants me to head that area because I'm more better with it. You know what I'm saying? It's just slightly more better than it. But she's great with money. But she just feels that, you know, I'm more better with money because, you know, I know how to sacrifice for the greater good.
I know how to shop.
And my baby know how to shop.
So would you say
that goes back to the financial role
of being a provider?
Yeah.
For
yeah,
you, in your
no,
relationship,
not,
so to speak,
not,
is that the financial provider role you've accepted?
I'm not a provider. I'm a member in the empire. And that's what I want. You know,
ooh,
okay.
I like that. I just passed out and came back.
You talking
look,
my kind of language.
I don't want no woman walking behind me. I want her by my side. I want to build this thing together. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm with my best friend, my homegirl. You know, that's what it's all about. I don't want her behind me. I don't want her to be submissive to me or all of that stuff like that. I want somebody to ride with me.
Hold on, King Charles. I gotta jump out here.
Marissa's
the
saying I'm always interviewing. I look at my life as a corporation. I work in corporate America, so I function as the chief operating officer. I'm looking for a CEO to build that empire and maintain the empire that I have. I'm decent with money, but for me, I look for people who are better with money, better at saving. Like when mm-hmm. I'm dating, I tell people, you know, I'm willy-nilly around here. I lack leadership sometimes when it comes to spending habits. I'm an only child. Now I'm a single parent with the only child. We kind of do what we want. If nobody's saying, okay, don't do this, that's probably not a good idea. No. So I look for that in potential mates or, you know, my empire partner, I'll call it, that they are better with money, especially better at saving than I am, because that is just something with age and with time and being in a marriage and other relationships, I lack that leadership in my life as far as, you know, being good with money. So another thing I'm saying, I'm not bad with money. I got a good credit score. I'm not bad with it, but I'm looking for somebody who can take what I have and multiply that by whatever.
And I think I'm going to go back to saying it's more than different factors, but maturity is one of the key. I do want to go back and say I think overall, if we did internet research, I think men are still better with money and finances. I think a lot of women say, hey, my husband won't let me shop because he said, hey, babe, you know what I'm saying? We got to watch the budget. He's spending too much. You know, like men put their foot down and be like, you know what? You're right. So I think overall men, they're like that gatekeeper. Some women are like, ooh, my husband real tight with the money. I think, again, I just think with maturity, real men, mature men, not these little silly boys out here, but real mature men, I think they're pretty much good with the finances. And I think a lot of women that respect their husbands respect them in that role with managing the finances. That's just my two cents.
Well, I wanted to jump in and kind of talk about what King Charles was saying, and I'm going to kind of break it down a little bit. Now, you said you have an empire. You have an empire because you, as your king, you have your domain and your queen has her domain because you're both entrepreneurs. And when you have a kingdom and a queendom, you put that together for an empire. A lot of what I see a lot of times is there's not a component where there's a kingdom and a queendom. To have an empire, you have to see what you have going on, because sometimes you just have a kingdom. Sometimes you just have a queendom, but you have to have a kingdom and a queendom to have an empire.
I like that.
I definitely agree with Steve, and Steve kind of knows, I'm not going to say challenges, but there are challenges that I've, you know, been willing to settle on because I come with the queendom. It is so hard to find regionally for me someone with the kingdom to even, and then everybody wants to, so I take finances out of it sometimes. I take finances out of it, and I'm looking, do you have the other abilities in your kingdom? Because you may not meet me financially, but do you have other capabilities to match my queendom that I've established? And I am submissive enough that I will hand my queendom over to you if you can prove that you can manage it and take it to the next level. Not managing, we gonna stay where we at, but can you execute and elevate it to the next level? And sometimes that is difficult. I have had individuals shy away from that opportunity, like, nah, I can't do nothing with this. And I was always shocked, like, I don't ever anticipate anyone to match me financially, but men tend to think, okay, it's nothing I can do with that. I drove a fancy car for a long time. I've traded it in. But I've had people walk me to my car and be like, yo, this you? I'm like, yeah. I can't do nothing with that. I can't do nothing with this. Oh, okay then. I asked you to do nothing with it. I didn't ask it. So it's been really difficult for me, to say the least, to kind of find somebody that is confident in their kingdom, maybe lacking the income that goes with it.
Hey, let me chime in right quick. Thank you. This is a fire conversation. This is really fire right here, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it. But when me and my baby met, My baby was already an entrepreneur. I really just had the bareness and very sensuals. But I had a dream and I had a plan. And she believed in it. And I executed that dream and that plan. So now, you know, I'm sitting on top of my company. And not only that, I'm working in the medical field too, which wasn't in the plan. But, you know, thank God came in and intervened. But the point is, it wasn't what I had that made me a king when she met me. It was my dream, my plan, my character, the way I carried myself, the way I dressed, the way when I speak to you, I speak to you in your eyes. You know, I'm not kowtow. I'm not bowing down to nothing or nobody. So therefore, she stuck by me and believed in me. She supported me with the stance of support, but not with the dollar sign of support. You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I would not let
uh-huh.
her
go back to the level of maturity.
Nothing like that. Never let her give me a dime. But I built it on my own. But I'm going to tell you something, and this is true for me. I don't know about nobody else in the world. I don't need nobody to make me 100 or to make me me. But I do need that queen by my side so I can rest assured so I can be the best me that I can be. You know, and I think my co-host, Dr. Guy, she ain't going to agree with that.
Uh-huh.
But that's what that made me feel. When I knew I had somebody by my side that believed in me, man, it was like jet fuel for me.
And I think that's vice versa. That works the same on my end. You got the right person beside you, and the key to that is finding the right person, or I'm trying to change my thought process, females, of that right person finding me. So, because when I pursue, it don't work out. It don't work out right. So I try to be patient and be pursued.
Well, also King Charles, you know, and I've spoken. You know, Marissa's one of my friends. We talk about a lot of things, and you know, I have a lot of other female friends that I have conversation with, and this speaks to what we were talking about earlier about being alpha and having a plan and looking somebody in the eyes and shaking hands. What a lot of women run across are not the things that you exhibited. Like, I hear some of these stories, and I wouldn't follow these dudes to the laundromat with their plan. You know.
Because the reality of it is you will meet like the King Charles, I guess, mentality, you know, often. You'll meet the other end of the extreme.
You meet baby powder.
Like, yes, you meet baby powder.
Exactly.
Yeah, you meet baby powders. And it goes back to what we addressed before, is the maturity level, his way of thinking and, you know, how he is thinking. And you can be a 45-year-old man, and your maturity level and the way you think is not where it needs to be. It's, some men still think like they in their 20s, 25.
Well, some mm-hmm. of it I agree is a maturity level, but another mm-hmm. level I run across sometimes is lack of exposure to have that vision that you're talking about, King Charles. Being able to maximize on those opportunities when they present themselves, like you talked about with the medical situation. It wasn't something that you had designed, but it presented itself, so you saw the opportunity. So what I see a lot of times when I'm talking to my female friends is a lack of alpha men who are able to understand those things and take those chances, risks, and opportunities, rather than they may be more beta men and more comfortable staying with their mama and not want to take any chances. And, you know, that is just what I see from talking to a lot of my female friends. Like, the guys, they don't have a plan. Their plan is her plan. they talking, they nursing friends talking about why you don't want to risk your life and go to New York for $40,000, that's going to help us. What you going to do? I'm going to watch the
exactly.
house. What are you talking about? Like,
yeah.
Without a plan. You guys, this has been a very enjoyable show, as I thought it would be, listening to all of you all's experience and diverse thoughts on some of these questions. But before we run out of time, you guys are doing a lot of things, and so I want to make sure we have an opportunity to tell our listeners some of the things that you guys have going on. So, Twyla, I'm going to start with you because I know you're all out and about before we had this COVID-19. But what's some things that you have coming up that our listeners can catch you doing or even buy, I believe, some of your products?
Okay. So I do poetry, and I do erotic poetry. And right now I'm working on my second book called A Taste of Twyla, Poetry and Pictures, and that will be out at the end of this month. And you'll be able to purchase that on Amazon or go to my website, which is twylabegood.com, and check out my blog and purchase it there as well. I'm also working on, it's called a Twyla Box, and it is an erotic fill box that will enhance your sexual life with goodies and treats in it. So you can order that as well now.
Oh, the Twyla Box. Okay.
Mm-hmm. The Twyla Box, yes. With goodies in it. Yeah.
What types of goodies are in the Twyla Box?
You can have your choice of handcuffs, lotion that I've created, oil that I have in there that I've created. Just it depends on your level of freakiness. If you want a paddle, flogger, you can have that in there. Yeah, and it
so
comes
these handcuffs, is it steel or furry? Or the handcuffs, they steel or furry? I
know. Well, you
so
can have the steel ones and you can have the furry one.
Okay, I need to
I'm
know
sorry.
The difference between handcuffs when you talk about steel and furry.
Well,
it
depends on what level of pain you want.
Right about now. Okay. Marissa, what about you? Anything going on your way in South Carolina?
Everything is going on. I'm quarantined and working harder than ever from home than I did when I was on the people job. But for those out there listening, I am a realtor here in the South Carolina area. If you're interested in listing or selling a home, get at me at MarissaD4 on IG, and I will get you hooked up.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Montgomery, anything going on for you these days?
No, just working from home and being daddy. Take it easy and be safe.
All righty. And last but not least, Mr. King Charles, what is going on your side of town?
Oh, definitely. You know, we got our show Friday night from 7 to 9 and Saturday from 1 to 3. That's King Charles Topic of the Week, award-winning. 3 years in a row, award-winning show with some amazing co-hosts. We got some great topics coming up. And I got, you know what? I have to entertain this topic. This topic is hot. Steve, when you coming to town, man?
All right.
I mean, we got to get the nation right first.
I know, huh?
That flight is about $35, but I don't know what I'm going to do when I get out there.
Right, around $35.
I have my second book coming out. It'll be out before the end of 2020. The name of that book is, if you want to know about a man, ask him. So, and I'm looking forward to that, you know what I'm saying? And that's what's happening right now. I can't say that I'm emceeing anything or this, that, and other because I'm speaking anywhere because right now, just like Steve said, the nation shut down. Everything that I had lined up in my calendar has been canceled. But it's going to happen. We're going to do some big things this year. We're going to come back with more awards this year on my show. I got great co-hosts, and they're doing the work.
Awesome. Absolutely. Well, Fatima, I know the COVID-19 things have changed things around, but how's the campaign going in? Has that been put on hold or any updates?
Yeah, it's sort of on hold. Like, it's hard for us to really plan anything just because we don't know, like, the runoff election has been pushed back to July 14th, but that's up in the air. I mean, it could get pushed back again, so everything is sort of on hold right now.
Okay. All right.
I do have to say,
I'm sorry.
Before we get off
the
air, I'm campaign managing for Sandra Linson Bale. She's running for constable of Hunt County in Hunt County, Texas, precinct 1.
Oh. Hi, and Steve, what's going on your way?
Now, you know, I'm Batman. I got a whole lot of stuff going on, but I can't talk about it. The only thing I can tell y'all, I got one pack of N95 masks that I'm willing to sell because y'all wasn't paying attention when I was.
Oh, my goodness. Mr. Capitalist. So, you guys, every week I have been reminding you all, if you have not already done so, I don't even know what the date is, so I'm still going to say it. If you have not done your 2020 census, make sure you do it. It takes a few seconds. You can do it online. It's so important to be counted, that those funds go back into your communities. So if you have not done it, please do it. Make sure you tell your family members and friends to get that done. And because we are still obviously in our stay-at-home, shelter-in-place cities and states, we're asking people to continue to be safe. Continue to protect yourselves, you guys. Go out unless, you know, don't go out unless it's necessary. And spend this downtime really being able to do something productive for yourselves instead of, if you're over here like me, eating cookies late at night, do something, write a book, start a new business, you know, plan a workout plan, do something productive in the next couple of days. And for everyone that joined me, this Sunday, thank you so much for taking time out of your Sunday to come in and chat with us today. And you guys, don't forget to Facebook it, tweet it, pass it on about Dr. Guy.
Before you sign out, I'd be remiss if I didn't say this because I did promise receipts. So 7 months ago, we did a show called Are Men and Women Afraid of Good Relationships? Where Steve talked about being involved with more than one woman who was in a relationship and he got involved with her. So I would think that Steve is the sneaky beta. So women, be careful of men who self-describe themselves as alpha males because they really might be betas in sheep's clothing. So I just wanted to go ahead and drop that. But everybody have a good day.
Since we want to revisit that situation, that was not something that was done sneakily. That was a woman who had chosen to step out of her situation with me. And everybody was complicit at a certain time about everything that was going on. So, you know, she misled me initially. Once I addressed the situation, it was something that was, yeah. Oh, no. That's
all
what I told you earlier. Like,
all I hear is sneaky beta. All I hear is sneaky beta talk.
If
it doesn't need to be understood, it doesn't need to be explained, man.
I just want to let you know that I was misled.
Sneaky beta, sneaky beta. I ain't got no words, no comments. All I'm going to say is everybody be blessed. Have a great week. And tune in next Sunday for Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone. This was fun.
Thanks, Marissa. Thanks, Twyla. Thanks, Darren and King Charles.
You're welcome.
Thank you for having me.
All right, y'all.
Oh, Lord, I can't take it.
Oh. Are we done? Should I hang up now?